The Zone is presented by Guarantee Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more food time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Apparently, Kirk Cousins' agent says that Kirk Cousins is frustrated and also confused by the Falcons drafting Michael Penix Jr. Frustrated, and he's confused about the drafting of Michael Penix Jr. And apparently,
those are fair emotions for him to have.
Yeah. And apparently, he received the phone call when they were getting ready to draft Michael Penix Jr. Yeah. that they were drafting at number 8. Hey, Kirk, we're going to give you all this money. Come in here, look at the offense you have, and wait till we get somebody else to help you with the number 8 pick in the draft. You got a new coach. We're going to dominate the NFC South. We're going to make the playoffs this year. It's all good. We're going to get you another weapon there. I don't know, maybe like a wide receiver or something.
Tackle
that's
going to
be awesome. Yeah. Heck yeah.
That's the other side of it, right? Like, you know, the competition side, and then like, okay, you did nothing really to help us for this year and maybe next year.
That's right.
I will point out, though, if you're paying me $90 million guaranteed, you can confuse the hell out of me. All you can just walk around giving me riddles. Like, and I'll say, fine, cool, $90 million. That's cool with me, man. You become the Riddler.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying, the competitor and all that stuff. It's very, very confusing. It's not ideal, but also, now that we've had a day to digest a little bit, you know, how long is Kirk Cousins going to be there?
This 2 years.
So this would be a two-year deal now.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're having a guy who you don't think is ready. I just don't think it would have been Michael Penix because of the age already. He's a guy who's
already 24 years old,
developed enough compared to some of the other guys. But I get the thought process of quarterback's the most important position, right?
Mm-hmm.
The outcomes are the same of bad, viable guy, and then superstar. I get the thought process of we need to try and elevate this team. When Kirk Cousins is gone, we need to find the guy. This is who they think is going to be the guy.
Well, I've said that I'd like Michael Penix as the third best quarterback in this draft as well. So I would have taken Michael Penix over Drake May. I'm just glad the Patriots took that guy. And I had tweeted out last night that you've got the Bears that took Caleb Williams. You got Washington that took Jaden Daniels. You've got New England that took Drake May. You got the Falcons that took Michael Penix. And you've got
Vikings, McCarthy.
The Vikings that took McCarthy.
Broncos, Nix.
And the Broncos that took Bo Nix. And what I like about that is, finally, the best quarterbacks in the draft are going to teams that won't be competing with the Chiefs in the AFC anyway.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, you got New England and the Broncos. Like, okay, great. Even if you liked those guys. But those are the two guys that I like probably the least of the six quarterbacks. I like McCarthy over Drake May as well as Bo Nix. But I really like Michael Penix. I mean, it would have been Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix for me. And I'm glad that, you know, after the years and years of these AFC teams getting the best quarterbacks in the draft, it is nice to see a number of NFC teams finally get some quarterbacks, okay? Have some of those guys go to the NFC. And also, Marvin Harrison Jr., Cardinals. Yeah. Malik Nabers is heading to the New York Giants. All good. Roma Dunze heading to Chicago. Great. The quarterbacks and the playmakers in the NFC. Fantastic. And the Chiefs got a difference maker in Xavier Worthy. It was nice to see how it went last night.
These teams run hundreds of simulations, right, in their own mock drafts. Do you think they ever ran one to where six QBs went in the top 12 picks? It's like, you're wasting our time, Bill. It's not going to happen. or one that was like 14 offensive players go in the first 14 picks. Do you think that was ever considered?
That one intern is like, I told you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
I told
you. We should have known it. First half of the draft was going to be offensive guys.
Okay, so we do have to do our due diligence. Bill's simulation now has six quarterbacks off the board, and we're at pick 13. Can we get to lunch already? Can we just blow through this one pretty quickly and get to lunch? Six quarterbacks are not going to be gone in the first 12 picks. Jesse.
What do you,
Taylor?
You
let's go.
What if the Raiders were like, guys, we're sitting pretty. We're at 13. We love all of these quarterbacks.
Any one of
these six are going to be better than Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. It doesn't matter if it's Nix, Penix, Schminix, whoever,
McCarthy,
in any of the X's. that land, we can make it work, and the Broncos swoop in and take the sixth and final one. And they're like, oh, okay, well, let's go best tight end on the board, I guess. I don't know, whatever.
Best, we'll go with a guy that I guess should have been gone in, like, the top 10, but still don't know who's going to throw him the ball. And we got Michael Mayer there as well, so we're definitely going to run these two tight end sets and run the football. And then we're going to have two pick sixes against the Chiefs because that's the recipe to beat
them.
Can
we play them on a holiday again? That'd be nice.
Thanksgiving, maybe? Halloween? I'm not sure. Christmas? Maybe. New Year's. We can't play them after New Year's because then the season's over. So
no, there's a couple weeks after New Year's. Yeah. These days.
I tweeted out last
two games after New Year's.
I tweeted out last night about Brock Bowers. I said, you know, Brock Bowers is a perfect fit for the Raiders. Because all of his success in the college football playoff, playing that deep, he's used to his season ending after week 18 in the NFL.
I remember
For the Raiders.
The first year of the 17-game schedule was the year that the Chiefs just got trounced by the Titans, right? It's 27-3. And in the end of the game, all the Chiefs fans are just mad. Everybody's mad on Twitter, right? I was like, guys, I don't care what you say. I still see this Chiefs team playing a couple games, at least two games in January. And people just hammered away. They were like, dude, are you watching this team? There's no chance. They had a January 2nd and a January 9th regular season
game
schedule. That I just kept going, no, I really do. So bookmarking this. I'm coming back. I'm like, yeah, be sure to come back January 9th. That's when you want to come back.
So the replies were amazing. Apparently, clearly you don't know sports.
I don't.
Oh, shocker. Mick thinks that they're going to play.
What a homer. What a homer.
Homer pick. I'm just like loving the response.
And the
there.
Funny thing is they played like four games that January, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That was the Bengals year, I think.
Oh, after after the Chiefs lost to the Eagles, I had tweeted out that the funny thing is we're all going to be laughing when the Chiefs hold up the Lombardi Trophy this year in February, and then next year we'll see them lose a game, and we'll all be back here again panicking.
Yep.
And then the replies were, not this, there's a better chance of the Chiefs losing the division than winning the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are not winning. This team's no chance of winning the Super Bowl. I'm like,
I would have been tweeting
every once
that
while you get
well.
One right.
Yeah.
Every once in a while you get one right. I mean, I wasn't fully convinced that was the case, but I thought, you know, this team is, because that was before the Bills and before the Packers game and before the Raiders game. Okay, that was the, right after they played the Dolphins, then they had the bye, then they played the Eagles, and it's like, well, they should have won that game. MVS just dropped the football, so they should have won that game, and it's like, all right, everything's going to be fine, guys, just chill out. And then, of course, you know, the next month happens, and it's like, okay, well, maybe it feels a little bit different.
We're going on vacation next week with a bunch of other couples, right? Yeah.
Well,
congratulations. Cul-de-sac.
Rich people.
And so they wanted to like get together a planning deal in February, and they're like, how about February 10th? Like, Mick, is that going to be this was like in late December, early January. I'm like, they're like, is that going to, you know, your Chiefs schedule? I'm like, that's like the night before the Super Bowl. The Chiefs ain't making the Super Bowl. I typed it out, and people give me crap. They still give me crap to this day over that. I'm like, oh. They're like, I thought you knew sports. I'm like, no, I never
tried
to give that impression, okay?
I talk about sports. I didn't say I know them.
When do you think the first Bo Knows shirts get made by Broncos fans? Like Bo Knows interceptions.
My brother lives in Denver, and he's a graphic designer, so he might have made them already.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah. Bo Knows interceptions. Hey, Bo. They're chanting for me. They're saying Bo. Actually, Mr. Nix, those are boos. Those actually are boos.
They're not saying Bo. They're saying boo. Yeah.
John Boyce on Twitter that has like 250,000 followers. And really what he does is just make fun tweets. He's a Chiefs fan. And he said, Xavier Worthy's a great player, but it's just hard to get excited when your team hasn't won a Super Bowl in months. Curtis had a great line last night, and then Sterling had it today, but I don't think you heard Curtis last night, so it was great minds. But he said, Curtis said, I had the tweet already to fire out that it's nice that the Bills finally know what it's like to pick 32nd.
and then they
traded it out of it. Yes. And Curtis like, I couldn't fire off the tweet. I couldn't rip off the tweet, man. Finally, they get a chance. But then Sterling said that earlier, and I'm like, you know, maybe it's a little bit like I always said growing up, I'm never going to go to the actual Super Bowl game until the Chiefs play in it. The Bills are like, we're not going to draft 32nd until we've earned it. Okay, so we traded with the Chiefs, but we will trade out again. I refuse to draft 32nd when it is not a really earned 32nd pick. Okay, not going to happen.
Did you see Chris Sims' tweet last night? Number 28 Chiefs, of course the champs get a guy with three rockets up his ass.
That's a great line.
That's a great line.
That's one of the best.
You're two scoops of it, and he's got three rockets.
What's the breakdown, like the mathematical equation? Solve for X? Does two scoops equal three rockets?
Maybe. I think they're the opposites.
Yeah, they are the opposite.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Two scoops is bad. You don't want to be two scoops of ass.
That's a good point. But
three rockets up there. Yes.
But having three rockets up there is perfectly fine.
He settled on the number.
Three rockets. Creed Humphrey also had a dynamite tweet last night.
Good.
That was really good. Me trying to keep up on wide receiver screens, and it shows a very, very hefty man trying to run and just falling. He's very top heavy. And then I love the fact that Drew Tranquil is so at home in Kansas City that he's already picking up on the Aaron Ladd, you know, F it Tyreek down there somewhere when he tweets out Xavier Worthy down there.
Aaron didn't coin that, I don't think.
But
right?
He did say it in a press conference.
We had a little meeting after that. I'm like, well, we don't say that word, okay? It was like a kid. We don't say that word in press conferences, okay?
Yeah.
Let's not do
that. See, here's the thing. If you're willing to say it in a press conference, full word and all, I'm going to give you credit. I'm going to give you credit of F it Tyreek down there somewhere. But Drew's been a part of the Chiefs for 5 minutes. He's tweeting out, Xavier Worthy down there somewhere. Love it, man.
Aaron's good at making a splash, let's just say.
Yes.
He had one that went kind of viral last night.
Yes. Charles Aminihu, Worthy down there somewhere, Hollywood down there somewhere, Trav working the sticks, and Rice, we got the pop. And then Dez Bryant quote tweeted that and said, this got to be the most cheating video game S ever. And now it's like, you know, The other people were saying, no longer allowed to use the Chiefs in Madden. Can't use the Chiefs in Madden. Now the Chiefs are going to be the team that isn't allowed in Madden with Xavier Worthy on the team. So we'll see. People are excited about it. But I will offer devil's advocate. The last time the nation on Twitter went crazy about how in the hell did the league let this happen.
Every year there's some, they're like, who's going to stop Ryan Tannehill, yeah, right? And these receivers. Who's going to stop these guys?
Last time it was about the Chiefs was, I can't believe the league let the Chiefs get Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
No. What? No. No one did that.
Are you?
No one did
don't
that.
Don't gaslight me. That was the entire.
Somebody of note or just like a homeless guy tweeting?
Yes, yes, my dude. Point, Jason. Thank you, Mitch.
I swear to dude. That was
your friend from college. She was 13 beers deep. Tweeted that, and you're like, yeah.
Nope. There were so many. Now the Chiefs get Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Do not go back and look at it. Go back and try to find it.
No, you find me. Like, don't tell me to do my homework.
You're the one that said no.
Well, yeah,
I'm telling you what happened.
I could say anything right now, and then just deny and say, well, I guess you're not doing your research.
That's right. I do my own research on this. Okay, I've done my own research.
It has to be someone I've heard of.
Yes, it can't be again your.
So
your neighborhood.
So essentially what you're saying is you're calling me a liar
right
here in my face. Just call me a liar then.
No, I'm asking how big of a person was this? Of note.
It was Xavier Worthy that said it at that time.
Okay.
It was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, however long ago it was. Maybe he was a 15-year-old. I'm not sure.
Was it someone who
knew
ball?
But it wasn't one person. It was a general theme right after it happened of...
Yeah,
Clyde Edwards-Helaire's now.
Here's all your
because,
class.
Right? No, I'm telling you, man, it was national people, dude. Because he was expected to be better than what he was.
The point is well taken in that, like everybody's, you know, they're making the Tyreek comparisons and all that stuff. And I would counter with, okay, the last 2 years the Chiefs had Tyreek Hill, they didn't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
the 2 years he's been gone. With a wide receiver room with nothing but questions, right?
That were the other folks.
They were the other folks. They won two Super Bowls, right?
They won two Super Bowls.
The defense, right? The other teams take note of who's on the offense and who they're going up against, and there's some scheming that's involved in all that. And so the other teams on scholarship too, and
that's
there's
true.
There's and there's ways to defend even great players.
Yeah. But the reaction last night certainly was a good portion of that. It wasn't all that, but it was a good portion last night of. So in 2 years, if I say, well, remember, I mean, they all said the same thing about Xavier Worthy, and then Stu's going to be
like, well, I remember this one. It was a wide receiver who ran a 4-2-1, not a running back.
That, in coming out of college, was thought to be a really good difference maker. I would have liked the Chiefs to draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire, just not in the first round. You know, I thought he was a fine pick as a running back. Not in the first round. Yeah. If you had already grabbed T. Higgins or Jalen Johnson or Michael Pittman or Diggs or, you know, somebody along those lines, that would have been nice.
It's the Chiefs will forever be, and this is not a bad thing, trying to replicate that 2018 offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill, right? It seems like Sammy. They're going after those molds, mm-hmm. right?
It's the first hit. Every draft. Always chasing that first hit.
Right, and it makes sense, right? I mean, you have Kareem Hunt, a guy that can run between the tackles, just a bowling ball out there, and then Tyreek Hill, Olympic-type speed, who also has wide receiver qualities and way he can run around and catch balls.
Well, and I think one thing that's missing, and it's what Matt was talking about in the previous hour, was the Damian Williams running back is missing. Pacheco's fine. He's a good running back, but that speed. So sure. When Tyreek had the speed and Sammy Watkins had the speed, and then in 2019 you threw Mecole Hardman in there, and Damian Williams was a sub 4.4 guy, and how fast that everybody was. Legion of Zoom across the board, three wide receivers and a running back. Now you've got Hollywood and Xavier, but your running back room is a little, slow afoot.
Yeah.
So you're missing that part of it.
And it all, it's not like we're cracking the case here. Football players want, or football coaches want guys that are really fast, right? At all the skilled positions.
I don't know. I'm going to do some research on that.
I mean, even more so when you have a quarterback with the best arm in the world, right? Somebody that can put it anywhere they want, whatever the route is, however far downfield. I mean, you want those guys to be able to get to that spot as quick as possible and get open as quick as possible, because that just leads to bigger and bigger plays. Yeah. So, again, not cracking a big case here, but the speed all around Mahomes makes more sense than maybe more skill, right, mm-hmm. or more size or more physicality all around Mahomes.
We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, continue rolling. More Zone right after this. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I found the old tweet from my fraternity brother. You're right. He now works for ESPN, named Kevin Seifert. He said, LSU's Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the best receiving back in the draft. Chiefs are highly productive when targeting their backs. Reed gets the benefit of the doubt here with drafting a running back in the first round. They have yet another weapon. Good luck. Okay, that was my fraternity brother, Kevin Seifert. Louis Riddick. The Chiefs, yeah. The Chiefs' offense just got scarier. Somehow the league let that happen. Boom, in your face. That was my fraternity brother.
That was about Helaire?
Yeah, these are all about. I just did a Google search. NFL Twitter reacts
to
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
That's why you were talking to us during the break.
Yes. Charles Goldman. Another weapon in an already potent offense is not something you're going to find me complaining about, but other teams in the league will. That was also my fraternity brother. Charles
Goldman.
Hey,
what's this notion that, like, the NFL let this happen? Like,
I know, yeah.
You're drafting last, right?
I know, right.
The NFL
totally agree.
Gearing it towards the bad teams.
No.
What are they supposed to
right.
do? Say, oh, no. You guys are too good. Yeah. You can't have a skill position player.
My point was just playing devil's advocate that everybody was like, oh, my God, the Chiefs got Xavier Worthy. The league is dumb. It's like, well, the last time we sort of said that was the Chiefs added Clyde Edwards-Helaire to the offense. How dumb is the rest of the league? Well, the rest of the league was apparently smart.
Yeah.
They were like, hold on. The Chiefs took Edwards-Helaire? Oh, hell yeah. Sweet. We didn't want that guy in the first three rounds. They took him in the first round. What a wasted pick for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But we'll see what happens with Xavier Worthy. I think he's going to be a better player than Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I 1,000% agree, and that's also why I think it's a little funny whenever you tweet something or you talk about something, and if you're even slightly questioning anything, it's, well, I think I'll trust Brett Veach and Andy Reid over you, good sir. And you're like, as if they've never made a pick that's questionable. Like, okay, yeah, how's Sky Moore or Pickens? He talked about how he wanted DK Metcalf. Like, I should have gone with DK. That was a miss.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, okay. like I just always find that fascinating to me.
And we do have like comparisons. So they've missed on some. We watched Mecole Hardman and DK Metcalf, but also it was Ohio State's went to Indianapolis. Paris Campbell.
Yes.
That went after they traded ahead of Paris Campbell. Well, they traded up. They could have taken Paris Campbell. They took Mecole Hardman. It was like, okay, you're looking for that speed threat. Even if you didn't think DK Metcalf can do all these different things, he was just a huge guy that could run fast. Paris Campbell had some of those same skill sets that Mecole Hardman did, so that was at least a comparable to watch.
Andy Isabella.
Yeah, was a guy there. The Trent McDuffie, Kyrie Elam was an easy one to pay attention to. Sky Moore, the George Pickens, Alec Pierce, Tyler Thornton, because when they traded back, three receivers that went were Pickens, Thornton, and Pierce. And then they got Sky Moore, so those are four guys to look at and compare. And this will be a direct line of comparison of Xavier Worthy with Pearsall, A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Leggett, Ladd McConkey. All of these guys are going to be comparisons because you traded up and got a guy that, you know, is either better, the same, or worse than some of these guys you could have stayed and drafted. So there's an easy parallel to watch and see how right the Chiefs were, because they're also putting this guy into a position to be successful. So it's not like, well, Malik Nabers is going to the Giants and he's got Daniel Jones.
Right.
So the numbers might not be great, you know, because he's playing with Daniel Jones. This guy's walking into Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and if he's got issues of not being strong enough to get off the line of scrimmage against more physical cornerbacks, I think Andy Reid and the Chiefs will find a way to get him loose and to have him moving around and not go just lined up one-on-one against Legarius Sneed, who's going to put his hands on him and move him around.
I want to ask you, Mick, because we touched on this a little earlier. Do you think there's anything going back to the Sky Moore, where they could have had Pickens, they could have had Thornton, they could have had Pierce, but they traded back, they go, well, there's a pocket we like. And then all of a sudden they go, oh, well, we maybe liked Pierce better. We thought he was going to be there. This time around they said, we're not letting that happen. It might cost us a little bit here, but we're getting our guy. We know there's a pocket here after him, but we're not waiting for that. We want to have our pick. Do you think there's any of the reminiscing about the misgivings of the Sky Moore draft?
Yeah, and like I said earlier, you know, they missed out on Zay Flowers last year. Didn't go and get. They thought he might be there, and they didn't.
Or
go
nobody
and
was
get
willing
guy.
To. Or the, yeah, the price no was way too high.
Trade.
Rent is so too damn high.
Yeah, I mean, and looked. I mean, they nailed the pocket with the Rashee Rice pick last year, right?
In
the second round, and so it's the draft is still hard, right? Even for the best team and the best selectors in the league of the Chiefs, and they're probably batting below 500 in Brett Veach's era, but still, if you're above 400, you're really good, right? That's a great
like
track record.
It's like baseball, right? Like they're George Brett right now.
Yeah, I would say you want to be better than 300 about in the draft. You want to get close to half your picks.
I don't know, the Panthers are like Joey
what
Gallo.
They should be.
Well, it sort of depends because it's kind of weighted. Because you know, in the first round, you need to probably bat 800. You know. Seventh round, can you bat,
but,
you know,
I mean,
can
how
you be,
often is that? I mean, that's...
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's what I'm... Like, you would like to bat that high of...
Half the first-round picks every year don't live up to their value.
Yeah, well, it's like the... Did you guys see the absurd, I'm using air quotes here, study that was done that Adam Schefter tweeted out and...
Oh, the second contract one?
Yes.
I thought it was a very poor...
It's one because, of the,
I know it's first rounders only, by the way, but it also doesn't take into account where you're drafted 1 through 32. Doesn't take into account that if a guy is very, very good, he's going to get paid a bleep ton of money, and that current team might not be able to afford him.
Right.
For example, Clyde got a second contract. That's considered a hit.
I mean, in this
which
thing,
is,
yes,
which
according,
is
according to that,
no, that's not that, dumb. That's dumb.
Yeah,
that'd
it
be
was
considered a hit.
Yeah, it was looking at here are the positional groups that are the highest hit rates and miss rates based on teams giving out second contracts to that particular player. And I'm like, Daniel Jones got a second contract. So that goes as a hit on that particular study. I'm like, this is already flawed. If it's just based on, well, did you get a second contract or not? Who cares?
Well, because Laramie Tunsil, for example, was a first-rounder.
Well,
he's not playing his current
say
team,
almost
so he'd be considered
every
bust.
First round, if it's just a one-year deal with somebody else, or is it with the same team?
Has to be same team.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. So Laramie Tunsil, in that case, would be considered a bust because he was not given the second contract on the same team.
So
right?
You're missing both ways there, and that like there's guys that like you said, the team couldn't afford him. They get a big deal somewhere else,
yeah.
And that's a miss, supposedly.
So, yeah, Legarius Sneed didn't get a second contract.
Yeah, exactly. That's
that was a fourth rounder. Well, you know, you could have done better in that fourth round if you'd have got a guy with a second contract. Yeah, unfortunately, they took a guy that signed for $80 million.
Yeah, I feel there's an easy way to just do a little bit more research, right,
and come up with
some sort of study that's a little more accurate.
I've never seen... or very rarely see something that's put out like that, that it's like, okay, well, Adam Schefter's like, look at this study that was da-da-da, and was so universally immediately like picked apart, like, well, here's an issue why this is dumb. Here's another issue why this is dumb. This doesn't seem very smart. So, yeah, just, you know, like color coding some bar graphs and some plot graphs doesn't necessarily make the research worthwhile.
If I can find five things wrong off the top of my dome right there in 13 seconds, I really think there's – go back to the drawing board there.
Yeah. You kicked the ball into the end zone. You didn't guard Tyreek Hill. You didn't guard Travis Kelce. And you allowed him to get the timeout. And then you chose wrong on the coin flip. I named five things that went wrong in 13 seconds.
You did. And then you traded with the Chiefs again.
Then you traded with the Chiefs again. Which I give the Bills some credit because... they could have easily said, bleep you, no. And they viewed it and said, this makes us better. I know it makes the Chiefs think they'll get better. Fine, the Chiefs will get better. But Sterling said it earlier, the Bills, they're not one player away. And the Bills looked at it and said, we're not one player away. They now have four picks today. You know, they've got two second-rounders, two third-rounders because of moving back from 28 to 33.
It's four spots, I agree. And that it's not like... who the Chiefs were going to take at 32 was going to be a bum, right?
Right.
And,
yes,
and,
exactly.
And it's a Pro Bowler at 28, right? It could be vice versa, right? Had they stayed, maybe they'll end up getting a better pick. We never know.
And
this thing's a crapshoot, and so yeah, it's four spots. You made your team better. It's not like the Chiefs were going to get worse had they stayed at 32.
Right.
And so, yeah, to me, it's done. And then they traded back again, got another pick, right,
yeah.
with Carolina. They just did not like that area of the draft. Talking
about
pockets. They were in the wrong one there, apparently.
We can trade out. Let's trade out. But, you know, if they looked at it and said, we don't want Xavier Worthy. We it doesn't fit our scheme. If it fits the Chiefs, whatever. He may be there at 32 anyway. So we sit here at 28 and take somebody that we don't think the Chiefs were going to take anyway. Or we can slide back, sit at 32 and go, well, now we got a couple of other guys that we like.
We're targeting five guys right here that we really like. And just if everybody picks one of them, there's still one of them left here.
Right.
We can move back four spots.
And the Chiefs clearly didn't view it that way. They said the four wide receivers have gone off the board. And we feel like there is a difference between five and everybody else.
Trade their entire receiver room, apparently. So
they need receivers.
Yeah, we're going to jump ahead of them.
So if San Francisco is going to, have Ayuk and Debo Samuel gone, then maybe they're going to go up and get Xavier Worthy.
Sure enough, they drafted
a wide receiver. It's just an interesting one.
They might have reached a little bit
because I mean San Francisco's offense is a lot of get the ball in their hands and then let them get yards after the catch. And Pearsall's a guy that's I'm going to catch it, but that's probably it. But I'm going to get open and I'm going to catch it. Like I am not going to drop this football. So if there was somebody that like if the Chiefs took that would have been like well of course they took him. That would have made sense besides just the really fast guy from Texas and Xavier Worthy. It would be Pearsall where people go. Yeah, maybe the best hands in the draft and doesn't drop anything. Yeah, makes sense. The Chiefs would grab that guy after all the drops they had to deal with last year.
I just love that the Panthers traded back into 32 to grab a guy that's basically the same player on the roster. Jonathan Mingo is basically the same as Xavier Leggett.
He's took doubling Mingo back
down.
To back
like, you just did the exact same plan. How did that work out, guys?
We're going to get it right. We're going to get it right, one of these two. The Chiefs took Sky Moore and Rashee Rice, and they got one of them right. Okay, so we went Mingo, and we're going Xavier Leggett. One of these guys we're going to hit on.
The Panthers are the Joey Gallo. They're just going to bat about 150, and they're just hoping that one they run into one.
Might not get a home run here. Here's Brett Veach. If you want to know what maybe tonight could bring for the Chiefs sitting at pick 64, this is clip number 9. Here's Brett Veach talking about you know the trade that they made, but really how the first round went, how the board fell along the way while they were sitting there at 32.
You know, wide out and tackle and you know, D-line corner. I mean, those we kind of had a pretty good gauge that the tackles we like would be on. I mean, we were holding out a little hope there that if one of those guys got in a window, we would have done something. And, you know, the guys that you know, we were really interested in. They went and didn't really have an opportunity there. And we just kind of let the board play out. And then we saw a good value there to move down a couple spots, 38 spots, and then take Xavier. We just felt like it was the right move and it made sense for us.
So clearly everybody nailed it, got it totally right. The Chiefs will be looking at tackle and wide receiver. In the first round. Shocking that those are the biggest needs, and those were the players they were looking at. But he said, like, the tackles weren't there. I think once Amarius Mims went number 19 to the Bengals, then the trading up became obsolete for the Chiefs at that point. But is it an indication of what could happen tonight if the Chiefs were saying there was a pocket of tackles that we were number of tackles in a pocket we're looking for didn't make sense, so then the next one was Xavier Worthy. Clearly their plan A was to move up and get a tackle. That was plan A. Plan B was to get Xavier Worthy to help ease the protection of Patrick Mahomes when the defense is doing different things, worrying about the guy running deep, the guy running across the middle in Rashee Rice, the guy working the sticks like Travis Kelce, and the other guy in Hollywood Brown that's doing things as well. Makes it a little bit easier when the defense has to worry about those things. But if one of those tackles that could be early second starts to slide... We've talked about Suamataia a lot on the show. Yeah. If he's there at like 50 or 52 or something like that, is that the time you use one of next year's third rounders, take 64 and move up and get your tackle?
Yeah, I think the wonky way the draft went with all the offensive players, all the quarterbacks, right, it resulted in that run on offensive tackles. And what, they have 8 or 9 offensive linemen overall, because that Duke kid, I think, is interior.
So
that's what it resulted in, to where there just weren't enough tackles there for the Chiefs to make a move there. But what it did, it just slid those receivers. What, Worthy's the 5th receiver? Is that right? Taken? And so, I mean, with this receiver class, if you can have your 5th pick at the receivers, or the 10th at O-line, you're gonna, it's a no-brainer. You go receiver.
Yeah, the 9 offensive linemen taken in the first round, 8 tackles, because I think you're considering...
Graham Barton was a center, right?
Yes.
Center
Duke. So he's the only non-tackle. If you
one of those guys, another one of those guys is probably going to move.
A guard, which is completely possible, but we think Fatanu is probably more of a tackle, even though he's listed at guard. He played both. Either way you look at it, 7.
Didn't they draft L'Jarius Sneed, and wasn't he listed by the NFL as safety?
Yeah.
The Chiefs said cornerback when they drafted him. Like, well, we're bringing him in here to play cornerback. But, like, NFL.com and ESPN, it was L'Jarius Sneed, safety. In the fourth round.
And then Morgan's another guy they're figuring, Jordan Morgan, that'll move to guard.
Yeah. But they're actually listing Fautanu as a guard
He's going to move tackle.
But I think he's going to stay at tackle for the Steelers. Yes. They're going to try to, at least, because he played left tackle for 3 years in Washington. So.
And then you have, I think what you're bringing up is interesting. If there's a pocket, but I still believe there's 2 guys. Or, if you want to count the Notre Dame guy, then 3. But you have Patrick Paul, right? And you have Kingsley Suamataia. Those guys, I think, are the 2 guys in particular you're looking at, because those 2 guys might be around in the 50s. They might be around 50, 51, 52, where you're not giving up a ton to move up to that spot.
And they also play left tackle.
Correct.
Not just Blake Fisher. Well, Blake Fisher, if he's there, he's a guy that's played right tackle the entire time at Notre Dame, because, Joe Alt was there on the left side. So I'm not wanting the Chiefs to draft a right tackle.
When it was 12 or 13 and 3 receivers had gone, and it was all offense, I was wondering, okay, is this going to be an edge pick for Kansas City? Is there going to be a Dallas Turner right left? Because they weren't taking defensive guys. And then that run on edges happened towards the middle to the back end of the first round, and that just left that left wide receivers is kind of the odd man out, and I think the Chiefs benefited.
Yeah, it's like at this rate, Latu is going to be there at 32. They're going to be able to get that guy at number 32. Instead, he was there at number 15 for the Indianapolis Colts, so good for them. All right, we'll take a timeout, come back. We will we'll continue rolling. We'll get the cuts coming up next right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, last segment of the week here. So, Sterling, typically what we do on the last segment of the week is we play the cuts
in the show. We put the stuff that's in the show in the show.
And Kyle gave me the thumbs up saying it is ready for cuts. So he gives me the thumbs up, and I say we start. Is that typically how it works, Sterling?
He got a different finger last
year. Yeah, I got a different one. Yeah, that's what it was.
Mark that one for next week. Kyle, go right ahead. Take it away, sir. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just vibes.
I would do more than that than just you barely put it in. That's going to fall yet again.
I got it.
Good. Mark that hill.
It's as far as it can twist.
Mm.
Dragons, Dragons versus Burials. Burials 4-0 this year. Dragons 0-2 with the 4.53 ERA. What are you thinking?
Who was that?
Dragons.
Dieter.
I just had a tough last start.
Dragons. Jesse Newell. Dragons.
Who said Dragons?
It was Garrick Dieter.
Oh, nice.
I love listening to Dieter. I forgot to cut the two BSs that he dropped this week. He said BS twice, but the real bull whoop, twice. But anyway, go ahead. Hey, should we do a little fact or fiction?
Nope. Fact.
Ooh, good one.
Sticking ball, guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Sticking ball, guys.
Yeah. Sterling apparently wants to, he thinks better with his bat. He's Daniel Caffey over here. So, do you think better with a bat in your hands there, Sterling?
Just my wood.
Mm. Okay. Does that make you think better? That seems like you're using the wrong brain. Typically, that's what gets you in trouble through most of your life.
We've gone from 0 marks to 3 in time.
keep them rolling.
Who wins the NBA championship?
Nuggs, bruh.
Nuggs, bruh.
With Dan Campbell, because he would bite off kneecaps.
He would bite off, yeah, the shafts.
With Dan Campbell, because he would bite off kneecaps.
He would bite off, yeah, the shafts and the
bite
grips,
off shafts.
Everything.
That's right. He would.
Mick.
We'll take time to come back to Amazon next. In my lack of faith, I'll be in the Navy and I'll just be the seaman. So, and I know he's got a decent size backside. MJ Melendez.
I was told I was supposed to let Todd see him. He told me before the show that the rule was I let him watch.
I don't know what that was about, but I can imagine.
That's on you, Tanner.
That was Lebo acting like a drunk little league coach that yelled at one of the players that dropped the ball. That's on you, Tanner!
Great choice of names.
Wow. I can carry my little stick all over the place, from Louisville to the KC to Wyoming to wherever I end up going. But, you know, plug that little thing in the hole.
Mm.
I don't know what that was about.
And now I know you like basically screw Jason.
Oh.
I learned that.
You learned that? Yeah.
Learned funny's best.
Recently. Today is her first round of golf ever, and she's playing Augusta, and she's one of the 24 people out of the thousands that cover the Masters. She's one of the 24 people that they drew, and her first round of golf.
If I strangled her, I mean, would I go to jail or the?
I think you guys would be like the exact opposite of Ludwig Åberg. You guys would be nervous and shaking, and not just walking around smiling.
And American.
That would be the opposite too. Yeah,
he locks them in there for two-week periods, and they just beat it up in there. And
God dang it.
Are there any other innuendos than sexual? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
That was his, like, dark horse. He was sticking his flag in him.
Jesus. Why was he doing that? Sterling, why was he doing that? That seems extreme.
And specifically and potentially without the girthy groin that's behind the plate on.
Who's that?
It was Josh Kaiser talking about Salvi, some reason describing him as that. Let's say noon. Let's have a nooner here.
Well, I can't get a nooner done in 3 minutes.
I just.
By the way, did you hear where Chiefsaholic has got to pay the teller $10.8 million?
$10 million, yeah. How about that?
That restitution is huge.
Trevetta drops some that are just dynamite sometimes, man. That restitution is huge. So, Andrew, that's a winner. You got Uranus and Bruce Weber. Sometimes those guys are interchangeable. We'll tell you.
Same thing.
Hey.
Well, I think one of the reasons she's so hard to contain, Greg, this probably seems like a foreign concept to you, but she passes really, really well.
Wow, that's actually a really good dig, and it's 100% correct.
The girl, you know what? The girly Nates never stop.
They never stop,
even if it's after the season's over. They never ever quit, even when we're talking about football and draft and everything. So, thank you, Mick. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Thanks for the donuts. Thanks
about
for
Monday?
The pot roast smell. I'll be back on Monday.
I offered you some.
Thanks for letting me meet Kyle. Seems like a real straight shooter back there.
Total straight shooter. That's right. Yep.
Rest in peace, Dylan.
No, he's still with us. Okay. Not today, but like he's...
Somebody said he's in a better place, and so I thought heaven, but then I guess any place would be better than here.
Yeah, that's right.
Last time I produced this show, Briscoe left the following week, so Sterling, your days might be numbered.
Whoa, man, the Grim Reaper of radio. The Radio Reaper.
Kyle's the cooler.
He is.
The cooler Kyle Collier. What a great alliteration. Sterling, you going to be back here next week?
I was planning on it until I get a text on after the show.
Yeah, well.
Hey, buddy, when things are grim... Be Patrick Mahomes. How'd that go? Something like that.
That's exactly what Andy Reid said to him. You know, Patrick, when things are the Reaper, they're sometimes
do stuff.
They're grim.